Finally, I'd like to illustrate how a young woman used empathy to bypass violence during her night shift at a drug detoxification center in Toronto. The young woman recounted this story during a second workshop she attended. She told me that at 11 p.m. one night, a few weeks after her first training, a man who'd obviously been taking drugs walked in off the street and demanded a room. The young woman started to explain to him that all the rooms had been filled for the night. She was about to hand the man the address of another detox center when he hurled her to the ground. She told me, "The next thing I knew, he was sitting across my chest, holding a knife to my throat and shouting, 'You bitch, don't lie to me. You do too have a room.'" She told me how she then proceeded to apply the training she had received the first session by listening for his feelings and needs. I said, "You remembered to do that under those conditions?" I was really impressed. She said, "What choice did I have? Desperation sometimes makes good communicators of us all. You know, Marshall," she added, "that joke you told me in the workshop really helped me. In fact, I think it saved my life." I said, "What joke?" And she answered, "Remember when you said never to put your butt in the face of an angry person?" Well, I was all ready to start arguing with him. I was about to say, "But I don't have a room," when I remembered your joke. It really stayed with me because only the week before, I was arguing with my mother and she said, "I could kill you when you answer but to everything I say." Well, imagine if my mother was angry enough to kill me for using that word. What would this man have done? If I'd said, "But I don't have a room," when he was screaming at me, I have no doubt he would have probably gotten more angry, and who knows what he would have done. So instead of saying, "But I don't have a room," I took a deep breath and said, "Oh, it sounds like you're really angry and you want to be given a room." He yelled back, "I may be an addict, but by God, I deserve respect. I'm tired of nobody giving me respect. My parents don't give me respect. I'm going to get respect." So I just focused on his feelings and needs and said, "So, sir, if I'm understanding you, you're fed up when your need for respect isn't getting met." And I continued to hear his feelings and needs when whatever he said. I asked her, "Well, how long did this go on?" She said, "Oh, about another 35 minutes. He was in a lot of pain." I said to her, "That must have been terrifying." She said, "No, you know, Marshall, surprisingly, not after the first couple of interchanges. Yeah, I was really scared for the first couple, but I saw that whenever I concentrated on listening to his feelings and needs, I stopped seeing him as a monster. And I could see, just as you had said in the workshop, how people who seem like monsters are simply human beings whose language and behavior sometimes keep us from seeing their humanness. The more I was able to focus my attention on his feelings and needs, the more I saw him as a person full of despair whose needs weren't getting met. I got more and more confident that if I held my attention there, I wouldn't be hurt. After he received the empathy he needed, he got off me. He put the knife away, and I helped him find a room at another center." Delighted that she'd learned to respond empathically in such an extreme situation, I asked curiously, "Well, what are you doing back here? It sounds like you've mastered nonviolent communication. You ought to be out teaching others what you've learned." She responded, "Oh, now I need you to help me with a harder situation, Marshall," she said. I said, "I'm almost afraid to ask. What could be harder than that?" She replied, "Now I need you to help me do this with my mother. Despite all the insight I got into that but phenomenon, you know what happened? At supper the next evening when I told my mother what had happened with the man, she said, 'You're going to cause your father and me to have a heart attack if you keep that job. You simply have to find different work.' So guess what I said to her again, Marshall? 'But, Mother, it's my life.